Blog Talk Radio.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curve, planting the hill. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way, the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Serial Queen Review, this NBA Western Conference semifinal post-game edition, as the Oklahoma City Thunder took out the Memphis Grizzlies 105-90. Serial Queen taking you for the next 30 minutes as I discuss the world of sports. 347-215-6180 is your call number. You can hit me up at facebook.com/Serial Queen. Or follow me at twitter.com/William Gerald. Also for my Blog Talk Radio audience, the chat line is up. So you know, hit me up with any comments or questions that you may have. And indeed, it was the good old boys of Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, which just was too much for the Memphis Grizzlies to handle. Westbrook gets a triple-double, 14 points, 10 rebounds, 14 assists, had 5 turnovers, but still, remarkable game for him, the best game of his young playoff career by far, even more impressive than when he had 40 in a game earlier in the playoffs. And Kevin Durant was just off the charts, 39 points, 9 rebounds, had 3 blocks, 13 for 25 from the field, 9 for 9 from the line, from the foul line, 4 for 9 from 3-point range. He was tremendous as well. And the Oklahoma City Thunder find themselves in the Western Conference Finals for the first time in their franchise's short history. And you have to, if you want to trace it back to the Seattle Supersonics, first time they've been in a conference finals since 1996, when they were, of course, led by the glove Gary Payton and the Rain Man, Sean Kemp, before he ate himself out of league. That was when he was the Rain Man and not the Pop-Tart Man. Listen, this game, what kind of went how you thought it would go, from a standpoint that when you have two teams that are basically evenly matched and it comes down to a game seven, the home team normally is going to win the game. I mean, that's all there is to it. Both these teams are very young, emotional, lack a lot of big game experience, and you saw that early on, as especially in the first quarter, where both teams could not, neither one of the teams could not hit a shot. Memphis shot terribly from the field throughout the course of the game, and Oklahoma City wasn't much better in the first half. But once Oklahoma City started to heat up in that third quarter, the game was pretty much a wrap for Memphis, who when Memphis played great in the series, it was Zach Randolph who was always on top of his game. When he struggled even a little bit, then they basically had no chance of winning. And you know, 6 for 15 from the field. Again, really never got into a flow throughout the course of the game. Gasol really was basically a non-factor. You know, the best players on the floor for Memphis were Mike Conley Jr. and O.J. Mayo. And you know, if they were going to win this game seven, then those two bigs who had been carrying them throughout the course of the playoffs, and Randolph and Gasol, had to be dominant, and they were not. They were not that whatsoever. And also, you know, the Oklahoma City bench was big. I mean, James Harden came off the bench, 17 points, gave him a lift, especially in that second half, in that third quarter, and decisive quarter. And Nick Collison, whose stat line certainly was not great, but really provided some toughness as far as rebounding, blocked a couple of shots, gave him some energy when the team really was struggling in that first half. So you have Oklahoma City advancing. I thought Oklahoma City was going to win the game with the home court. You certainly can be surprised at shot. I thought Memphis would play a little bit better than what they did. But, again, two young teams, home court advantage is everything when it comes to young teams. You know, it's not like a situation where you had San Antonio or the Lakers or somebody of that caliber playing on the road and where you have confidence that the road team could win that type of game, Boston Celtics, what have you. You know, when you have two teams, again, that are evenly matched of this caliber, nine times out of ten, the road team, the home team is going to win, and that was certainly the case as Oklahoma City now would advance to play the Dallas Mavericks in the conference finals. When we return, we will look back at the turning point of the game. We'll talk about that, and we'll also talk about a preview of the Dallas-Oklahoma City series that will be starting on ESPN come Tuesday night. So we'll talk about those, that, and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, this special post-game edition, Oklahoma City 105, Memphis 90. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review as we look back at Game 7 between the Oklahoma City Thunder and Memphis Grizzlies. Oklahoma City takes out Memphis 105-90 as they now will face the Dallas Mavericks, who've had seemingly an eternity off after they eliminated the Lakers last Sunday. So Dallas is basically going to have 9 days off. 9 days off between series as they look to advance to their first NBA Finals since 2006. You look at the turning point in this game, and you know there really wasn't a specific moment that I could point to and say, "Hey, that you know a missed shot, a key steal, technical foul." I look at two things, and it involved both of Oklahoma City's star players in Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. I'll start with Westbrook because Westbrook has been the most polarized, scrutinized player in this series and maybe even in the playoffs because of, you know, shot selection, how many times he's shooting, not doing a good enough job of getting Durant the ball, and what have you. Well, this game, Westbrook was tremendous. Westbrook made a concerted effort from the beginning of this game until the end of getting everybody involved. I believe he only took 12 or 13 shots. It was only 4 for 12, but again, it was about him getting everybody else involved. He had 14 assists. He easily should have had about 20 assists. I mean, they were about 3 or 4 layups or easy shots that were missed by by Muhammad and Ibaka that could have got him more assists. He was off the charts in this game. His floor game was tremendous. His rebounding, he got, I don't know how many offensive rebounds he got. He had 10 rebounds total. You know, when he's playing to that level, and I'm not even talking about getting a triple-double, but to where he is a facilitator more than he is a scorer, then that takes Oklahoma City to another level. Because you have to worry about not only Durant, you have to worry about Harden, you have to worry about Dacon Cook, you have to worry about these other guys, Stephen Loshes, who become more confident when they know they're going to get the ball from Westbrook. Because none of those guys, other than Kevin Durant, can get their own shot, maybe with the exception of James Harden. You know, Eric Maynard, Dacon Cook, Ibaka, the Perkins, Nick Collison, Kendrick Perkins of the world, they need Westbrook to get them the ball, put them in places to be able to score. So when he's taking a million shots, then those guys, other than Durant, get completely taken out of the offense, and there you go, and they struggle. So with Westbrook making a concerted effort, I think that was a big turning point in this game. And I would say the second thing would be Kevin Durant. Durant gets off to a 2-for-9 start. You're saying to yourself, oh, my goodness, he's headed towards another just miserable shooting game. He regroups, and next thing you know, he's making threes left and right, and he finished the game 11-for-16 from that point on. Finished 13-for-25 from the field and just took over in that second quarter, that second and third quarter, and was just, you know, the all-star and all-NBA player that he is, scoring 39 points. Very easy, again, for a young player. This guy, remember, he's, you know, one of the best players in the world, still only 22 years old. Very easy for a player, first game 7, to get off to a slow start and then just basically go into the tank and have a 2-for, you know, a 5-for-20, you know, 6-for-18 shooting night. I mean, game 7 pressure can get to anybody. We saw last year, Kobe Bryant shot 6-for-24, and this is you know, an all-time great. So I was very impressed with how Durant was able to bounce back from that slow start, gather himself, and then finish the game just on fire and just lighting Memphis up. So to me, those two were the turning points as far as, you know, Westbrook, you know, becoming a facilitator, you know, becoming a pass first, shoot second guard, and also Durant rallying from his poor start. When we return, we will look ahead towards the Western Conference Finals as Dallas will face Oklahoma City. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Miami, Chicago as well. That's coming up, and much, much more on this latest edition of The Review. Back to this latest edition of the Cyril Coombe Review, 347-215-6180, as we discuss Game 7 between Oklahoma City and Memphis. Oklahoma City 105, Memphis 90, a decisive victory for the Memphis, for the Oklahoma City Thunder, who really never were in any serious danger of losing this game. I know there were a couple times where Memphis cut the lead to 4 or 6,
in that third quarter. But, you know, Durant hits a three. They get a couple of quick, easy baskets, stretch the lead to eight. And that, then, you know, after that, it was never, the game was never in doubt. Harden started making some threes. Again, Durant just went crazy in that second and third quarter. And, you know, Memphis, you know, I think Memphis kind of showed you, you know, that they were an eighth seed. And they, you know, you were waiting to see to them, for them to show you the fact that they are an eighth seed. And we kind of forgot about that based on how well they had played throughout the course of the postseason. Well, two of the last three games, they basically showed you that they are an eighth seed. Game five, they got blown. They got their doors blown out. I know they bounced back in game six, but in this game, game seven, they got destroyed as well, especially in that second half. And really, when you look back on it, when Memphis looks back on this series, because this definitely was a winnable series for Memphis, they're going to look back at that game four, 2-1, 18-point lead at home, and that triple overtime loss. And they're going to look back on that and say to themselves, that was our opportunity to win that series. Because if they go up 3-1, then to me they close this series out in 6 games. That was where the series to me was lost. Because the further you go along in the series, the harder it is to win a game on the road. Yeah, you see teams win game ones on the road. You see teams win games, you know, game three on the road or game four on the road. But you don't see too many teams win game five, sixes, or game sevens on the road. You want to get a team, you want to hit a team in the mouth and win a road game from them. You need to hit them early in terms of if you're the road team. That's why I think game one of this Dallas Oklahoma City series is going to be a chance. It's going to be an opportunity, I think, for Oklahoma City to steal game one against Dallas. Dallas is going to be rusty. I mean, I know that they are certainly not complaining about having, you know, the time off, but the bottom line is you can't be away from the game that long and not lose your edge somewhat. I don't care how many hard practices you have or scrimmages and what have you. They're going to be a little bit rusty. The time is going to be off that first quarter, maybe first half. It might even take them a whole game for them to get their rhythm back. But Oklahoma City, to me, when I'm looking at these first two games of that series, the game that they're going to have the best chance to win at Dallas will be game one. If they can get game one, then we could be in for possibly a classic series. I think it's going to be a great series regardless. I like Dallas in the series because I think Dallas right now is on a mission. Dallas is still the more seasoned of the two teams. You're talking about having a guy like Jason Kidd who's been to a couple of NBA finals. You know, Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Terry have been to NBA finals. So I like Dallas to win in seven, but again, Oklahoma City presents some serious problems for Dallas in terms of they absolutely have nobody, and I mean nobody, that can match up with Russell Westbrook. Like, if I say that, if Oklahoma City wins this series, then Russell Westbrook, if Oklahoma City does beat Dallas, then Russell Westbrook would have dominated that series because I don't think they can match up with him. I think Kidd is too slow. I don't think Barea and Jason Terry are not quick enough either to go out and play him off the dribble. And that's not just Terry's strength anyway. But Barea is too small to try to play him off the dribble. And I can see Westbrook having a big series. To me, the difference would be, again, home court for Dallas, experience for Dallas. And I do think Dallas has some big men. You know, Dallas, I think the big men kind of kill each other off, so to speak. And I still give Dallas's bench an edge in that particular series. Now they won't have nowhere near the edge that they will have that they had against the Lakers, because you have the Harden, you have a Deacon Cook, you have an Eric Maynard. They have some nice players. Collison, the Thunder have some nice role players off the bench. They have some scoring out of Harden and Maynard. They have some toughness out of Collison. They have, you know, out of Collison, so they have a very good bench. They have some, you know, Muhammad gives them some size. So their bench, they have some excellent role players coming off the bench. But I do think Dallas's bench will have the edge, you know, in that particular series. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we will talk. We will have a little preview of the Bulls Heat. I will tell you why I believe that Chicago will win the series. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back.
When you walk through the garden, you gotta watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon for the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, he's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at his command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. We just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole.
Welcome back to this latest edition of the Review. 347-215-6180 is your call number. And I was just thinking about, you know, the beginning of the season as we look at this NBA's, you know, Final Four. Heat, Bulls, Dallas, and Oklahoma City. Sure, some people had the Heat. Nobody, I thought would have had the Chicago, or for that matter, I don't think a lot of people picked Dallas to get to the Western Conference Finals, to be honest with you. But definitely the Chicago Bulls are the surprise team out of this group when you look at these four remaining teams. And speaking of the Bulls and the Heat, of course, tonight they will tip off their series in about 38 minutes or so. Game one at the United Center as the Heat try to make another step towards the NBA Finals. The Bulls, these are two teams that over the course of the regular season met three times. The Bulls swept them. Heard something very interesting today, that no team has ever won a playoff series against that same team that swept them during the regular season. Found that to be interesting, which that's something that bodes well for the Bulls. I don't know how much stock you put into that. LeBron did not play in one of those games. Heat playing much better basketball than they were in those last two meetings that they played the Bulls in. But the Bulls posed some matchup problems for the Heat. I mean, they had no matchup whatsoever for Derrick Rose. I mean, none. I think, and one of the reasons why I think the Bulls are going to win this series is because I think that it's going to come to a point to where Spoelstra is going to have to put somebody other than, you know, Chalmers or Bibby. He's going to have to match up either Wade or LeBron for some serious minutes against Derrick Rose. And to me, that hurts the Heat offensively because of the energy that those guys are going to have to expend trying to guard Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose doesn't have to guard, you know, he's not going to have to guard anybody, to be honest with you. I mean, he's going to guard Bibby, Chalmers, that's it. I mean, Derrick Rose is going to be able to basically rest on defense because he's not going to have to guard any of the Heat's big players. And I think that is a major advantage for Chicago. And I also think Chicago has an advantage with the bench. What you're looking for Chicago to win the series is, you know, Boozer, dang, which one of those guys can constantly be the number two, can be a consistent number two to what Derrick Rose is going to bring to the table? Which one of those guys can get you 17 to 20 in a series when you know Rose is going to get you anywhere from 25 to 30? So that is the key for the Bulls, having to dominate the bench and having to get a second consistent scorer to aid Derrick Rose. In terms of the Heat are going to have to get some other contributions other than Dwayne and LeBron. I mean, they're not beating Chicago with basically two players or two and a half players when Bosch, you know, occasionally chips in. You know, they're going to have to get somebody, you know, whether it's a James Jones, Mike Bibby, Mike Miller, Udonis Haslam. A couple of those guys are going to have to give them something offensively because, you know, Thibodeau is going to take, you know, Wade and LeBron are going to, I don't see both those guys dominating the way they dominated against Boston. And let's say that you do get, say, 55 to 60 from those two guys, where are the other points going to come from? So that is going to be a key to this to that series. Miami getting better balance and not you know counting on just Wade and LeBron to carry them home. Remember, they're going up against a quicker, more athletic team in Chicago than they did against Boston. And when you think about it, in the Boston series, everything went right for Boston. I mean, went right for Miami in that series. When you think about it, Paul Pierce gets kicked out game one. Rajon Rondo breaks, dislocates his elbow. They didn't have a Kendrick Perkins to deal with the trade. They had, everything, fell right into place. Very interesting to see how Miami responds when something doesn't go their way. Like say if they lose game one tonight, or if they're down, say, 2-0, or down 2-1. We're really going to see how they respond to some serious pressure. They haven't had any serious pressure as of yet. They would have had it had Chicago, had Boston won games, either game four or game five, especially if they won game four. Or had Boston won one of those first two games in Miami and they go back to Boston being tied at one. But when you think about it, Miami has not had to face any major pressure. We'll see how they can respond to pressure, because they lose game one, even though the game is bigger for Chicago from the standpoint of maintaining home court advantage. But you lose game one and you face the prospects of being down 2-0 going to Miami, that's some pressure. Again, I like Chicago in seven. I think this will be a very competitive and tough series. You got that whole dynamic with Wade, LeBron, and Derrick Rose. You remember over the course of the summertime, Derrick Rose basically not kissing LeBron's ass to come there, say, hey, if he wants to come, fine. If he doesn't, we're good without him. Rose proved to be right as they won 61 games and they find themselves in the Eastern Conference Finals. Wade and LeBron, mentioned about having interest in going to Chicago, but it not happening. I want to see how Miami responds mentally from that emotional series against Boston. Are they still, celebrating over that, or have they moved on and just are now completely focused in on the Chicago Bulls? The pressure is on, to me, Miami. Out of all these four teams, certainly Dallas doesn't have that many shots left to win a championship as long as Dirk Nowitzki is, in his prime. But, with the Lakers being out of the mix, that kind of opened it up for Miami as far as, let's say the Lakers had gotten to the finals, and Miami got to the finals, and Miami loses to the Lakers, they're not going to really get criticized unless they would have gotten embarrassed. But you're not going to get criticized for losing to a team that won back-to-back championships. But now with the Lakers being out of the mix, now the Heat have been designated the favorites by Las Vegas to not only get to the finals, but to, in essence, win the championship. So now the pressure is really on for them. And, when you have opportunities to win a championship, you better seize them, because you never know. Chicago's only going to get better. Oklahoma City's only going to get better. The Lakers will reload. Depending on what happens with Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, Darren Williams, another super team might get formed. The Knicks, depending on what moves they get. Miami, this might be Miami's best chance to win a championship in the next couple of years, as crazy as that may sound. Who knows what's going to happen with this cold collective bargaining agreement? They might not be able to add much more talent. I don't know why people feel like Miami's going to be able to add considerably amount of talent to this team, considering that you have three players making basically max money. They are not going to be able to upgrade the talent that dramatically unless they choose to part ways with, say, Chris Bosh. And, there's no point guard. What are you going to get for Chris Bosh if you give up on him after 1 or 2 years? I'm going to say so long to my live audience. If you want to hear the rest of this podcast, you can certainly tune in to blogtalkradio.com/SurrealQuinn. But we are still on the air. But again, so long to my live audience. And I will see you next time on the next review, which will be on Tuesday. As we look at the world of entertainment and also sports as well. That is going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, this post-game edition. Thanks, Ross. Thanks for listening. Again, you can catch the archive of this at Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/TheRealQuinn. Again, you can always follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald or facebook.com/TheRealQuinn. I will see you next time. Have a great evening. So long.